Hey, you want that to go?
It's time for some quick takeouts on news stories we're following this week. And we're joined first by Todd Zwillick, the Takeaway Washington correspondent. Good morning, Todd.
Hi, good morning, Celeste.
So this is kind of a ritual that happens every year and a half to 2 years, right? They have to up the debt limit in Capitol Hill. But this year it took on increased importance, this particular vote.
Yeah, that's right. The debt limit, the amount of money that the federal government is allowed to borrow is actually set by law, and you can't exceed it. So, you know, we're in the red. We have been for years. Everybody knows that. So everything from Social Security checks to any other money, bonds, any other money the government sends out has to be underneath the debt limit. Well, the debt limit is about to be reached in the next couple of days, and Congress has to raise it. The problem is that the federal debt is already a staggering, get ready for this, Celeste, $12 trillion. That's the federal debt. So a Democratic Congress that needs to increase it, you can imagine the political difficulty in this climate of deficit spending and huge spending in the government, what it takes to raise the debt limit when it's already $12 trillion. So they had a vote on it last night. It barely passed, even though they only raised it a mere $300 billion. Just a tick, just $300 billion.
I mean, the Democrats are in control of Congress right now, but it, you know, this is equally shared on both sides of the aisle.
Well, it is, and Republican Congresses have raised the debt limit over and over again too. And as you mentioned, it is a bit of a ritual. I mean, the federal debt hasn't gone down. I don't think ever, really. So both sides have done this, but the Democrats are the ones who are staring a really difficult election in 2010 in the face, and they already know that. So having to vote to increase the debt limit, even though they have to do it, they have no choice, is a really tough vote. Now, last night, they voted only to increase it $300 billion, which only gets them to February, probably. And it only it passed with exactly 218 votes, the bare minimum. They had to scrape and scrap for every last vote just to get a little tiny increase in the debt limit passed. I call $300 billion little and tiny. And it means, Celeste, that they're going to have to do it again. So they're going to have to vote on this not once but twice. And you can imagine the 30-second ads that Republicans are going to like to run in November.
Everyone's tuned to C-SPAN recording the video.
Right. Oh, yeah. You can imagine the ads. You know, Congressman John Hockenberry voted to increase the debt twice.
John's
you know, those ads have already been written.
Right. And there was at least one person making apocryphal statements about this.
In case people haven't noticed, Titanic is sinking, and maybe we don't want to look out the portholes and understand that our country is trillions of dollars more in debt now than it was 12 months ago. That has got to stop or it's going to destroy our country.
I assume we're going to be hearing more of that yet.
Congressman Dana Rohrabacher of California giving a preview of what the message is going to be against Democrats on this.
Oh, okay. Quickly, we had an incident between Chuck Schumer, famously designing the Passenger's Bill of Rights on airplanes, but he had an incident with an attendant.
Yeah, Chuck Schumer was asked, his office has acknowledged, he was on a U.S. Airways shuttle flight between Washington and New York the other night with the other senator from New York, Kirsten Gillibrand, and was told, as many of us have been, by the flight attendant to please turn off his cell phone so that they could push back. He wanted to finish a call. She said no, and she walked away, he muttered something under his breath that wasn't very nice that made news. I won't repeat it on the air.
It
was the B word.
He apologizes. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent.
From one linguistic scandal to a much huger scandal, imagine if Accenture had an insurance policy on Tiger Woods before the scandal broke. Joining us this morning is Count Moore. He's managing director of the company DeWitt Stern Group, which is actually predating the Tiger Woods scandal, coming up with celebrity endorsement insurance products for companies who may want to be protected in case one of their celebrity endorse characters, one of their endorsement characters ends up in the kind of mess that Tiger Woods ended up in. First of all, Count Moore, good morning.
Good morning.
How do you insure a company for the shenanigans of a billionaire golfer?
Well, that product that you're talking about has been out for over 20 years, and Accenture and others could have purchased that. It was just a product to ensure the disparagement that a celebrity could bring to a brand. That isn't necessarily what we have introduced. We've been working on a product for 2 months that would in basically give insurance to corporations for their reputation.
Uh-huh. And how do you link that specifically with the company and the celebrity? I mean, for a long time, movie companies have had explicit insurance policies for, like, drug problems for stars. I mean, Robert Downey Jr., I remember, had a huge insurance policy that the studio would take out to make sure he was on the straight and narrow.
Yes, we know all about that. But we specialize in entertainment and advertising insurance, and this is just an extension, John, of what you just mentioned. A celebrity that's being a spokesperson for a product can get into trouble, like we just saw with Tiger Woods. And we're just taking this to another level, making it could happen in a store location, or another product that the company has. So we're insuring the brand, because that's what CEOs and COOs stay up worrying about. They worry about their reputation. And with Twitter and Facebook and camera flip phones today, you can spend 30 years building your reputation, and it can burn down in 24 hours.
Well, you know, for a couple of decades, PRI, Public Radio International, has been in business, right? And how much would you cost an insurance policy, say, for me to go off the rail for this public radio program here?
That's a tough question.
What do you think?
High premium.
Very high premium? So they should take out this policy immediately, tomorrow?
Are you planning, John?
I won't give advice on that, but this is something that we'd turned it over to our friends at Lloyd's of London to make the decision on.
So I'm Lloyd's of London, but other celebrities can deal with DeWitt Stern Group. All right, well, it's an interesting business proposition, trying to anticipate the kinds of reputation questions that come up when celebrities get into trouble. Count Moore is managing director of DeWitt Stern Group, coming up with a reputation insurance for people who get in the business of celebrity endorsements. What do you think? Would that help us? Can that save us here at The Takeaway?
I refuse to comment on whether or not an insurance policy would help us deal with John Hockenberry.
How do you know there already isn't one?
Give us a response if you need reputation insurance, or how much you think it would cost to insure us against John Hockenberry going off the rails. 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.